Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
And we do welcome you to this week's podcast of All About Relationships. Audrey, this is episode number 54.
Yes, and I love our listeners so much. And I'm really hoping that today during the podcast, you're going to feel the love. Did you know that the more you feel and receive love, the more you're able to give that kind of unconditional love? Love is definitely a continuum. It's a flow of giving and receiving, and we don't want to block that flow. And I really do hope that today you're going to love the topic that we're talking
about. The other, you know, side to that is, again, you can't give what you don't have.
Exactly.
And so if you're struggling simply with a low self-esteem, you know, or a low sense of worth, it's really, really hard to be able to give that to another person. Mm-hmm. But hey, in today's podcast, I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I was just, listening to the little jingle, you know, before we start and come into it. And yeah, we have now been married 36 years.
Yeah, we got to change that.
But what it is it's just principle after principle, but it's the things that are applied to life that make the difference. Mm-hmm. So what I don't want is for you to just gather information through the podcast, but what I do want is for you to take that information and apply it to your life.
That makes the difference. When we have clients and we have couples that are working with, when we say, okay, guys, we just gotten through this amazing FaceTime or Zoom time, and we've gotten to stuff, and we've had you guys look at each other and get through. But I'll tell you what, the true, exciting, beautiful stuff happens when you turn off the computer, you turn off the phone, and then life starts with just you two. And then we get to see it played out.
That's where it becomes real.
And customized and personal for you.
And I think that's where so many people question. Mm-hmm. We just recently had a couple here with us for a 3-day. And personally, I have so much excitement.
I do too.
And my faith is just so encouraged for them, because I know that they can. They have everything that they need to enter into, to be able to craft, to nurture, to grow the life that they've always wanted. And I just see so much happiness and joy for them.
But we love doing these things in our home office, because we get to walk out our front door and that last goodbye after 3 days of intensity, of getting through, you know, healing parts of their memories and broken hearts and unresolved conflict that has been going on for years.
Yeah.
Knowing that this smile on their face isn't just temporary, that they have the tools they need. And sometimes I wish I could all bring you guys. I wish we could record these sessions.
So it's not just possible, but now it's become probable.
Yes, that's it.
You see, now, and I think so many people come and they're just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the statements that I just make repeatedly is to allow yourself and your spouse the space to be different.
Yes.
And just give yourself some time, give yourself some space, and that things can change.
As we really approach today's podcast, I'd love to talk about one of my favorite F words, and that is focus. Mm. And so focus, sorry.
Just trying to be funny.
I don't know.
Why do you have to attach it to that?
I cannot help myself. I think things are funny.
Yes, you can.
Well, I didn't really think that through.
All right.
It's the word... The word focus is so powerful. Again, I'm going to keep reverting back, because if you can hear the stories of what's happened with others, then I know you can feel the hope and the possibilities. And as Bob said, I'm underscoring that, the probabilities of what can happen for you, then I want you to take what other people are getting and just bring it down and take it for yourself. Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the hope really comes in.
Yes.
Is when I'm able to see, mm-hmm. you know, in my faith.
That's
and
right.
from the beginning, within my relationship, I see myself different. And as a result, it brings tremendous hope, which is that confident, joyful anticipation. You see, that's my focus. Mm-hmm. And so that just draws me into, you know, the exactly. preferred future for us.
One of my appointments yesterday was with a young mom and she had a little baby. And at the end I said, okay, we've really gotten through to the bottom of some things. And you were able to mention some things that didn't feel mentionable, mm-hmm. to say things out loud of what you're really dealing with.
There's our Fred Rogers quote
yeah,
again.
Yeah, we love Fred love Rogers it. Quote. If you What's, once you mention it.
If it's mentionable.
It can be manageable.
It's now manageable.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're at a very safe place, we're just alone together, but to say this really happened and to describe the words of what happened, I said, okay, now it's there. Now we can manage this. Now we know what to do with it. But anyway, at the very end of the we had an incredible time together. And at the end, I said, okay, now when we turn this off, what are you going to go out? What helped you the most? And she said, when you helped me to focus, when you said that I get to put energy, when I put energy into something, it will get bigger. So she can think about her husband and all the things that he had not been, all the violations, all those things that wake her up in the
just
morning.
Lots of disappointment.
It's like you have to
sure.
wake up again in the next morning and you're bringing in the disappointment of yesterday.
Yeah.
And she said, I really realize now I have the choice
yes.
to choose where I'm going to focus. And when I do, it's like growing. It grows, it gets huge, it brings energy into that thing. So she recalled a memory that she had with her husband. I said, when's the last time you felt safe with him? And she remembered a memory and she started, I could, you know, see the smile. She goes, I remember he did this and then he remembered to do this and then it was romantic and he thought of me, he cherished me, he brought me on a surprise date and this and that. And it might have been years ago, but she started to remember. And I said, hey, that guy is still in there.
Yes.
He's hurt, he's disappointed, and he's scared too. But when you focus on that amazing husband that you still have, we're going to start to see that grow. And she could feel empowered as she realized she has a choice of what seeds of thought she's going to water mm-hmm. and grow.
The seed of thoughts that you,
yes.
you will plant.
Yes.
And, you know, bringing focus is really nurturing that and watering it, and it can grow in your life.
And you know,
good seed or bad.
Exactly. And you know, Bob, we have a choice every morning. This morning, I was tempted, I'm not going to lie, to bring something from yesterday that wasn't that great into today.
y'all listening here, you weren't a part of our yesterday.
No, you were not.
Right.
There were some beautiful
Thank
things
God
about yesterday.
You weren't a part of our yesterday. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I dreamt in the night.
Did you?
Yeah, and I hadn't apologized yet today, so I guess I could now. But in my dream I was, and it was just
wow,
simply this.
Wow, it didn't help me.
No, it helped me because I had to wrestle through it.
Yes.
But basically what it was is that I just made a choice, you know, as I was processing this in and out of, you know, consciousness.
Yeah, in your dreams.
And it was just this. I didn't want to repeat yesterday today.
Me either.
You see, and then you have to take responsibility for the part that you played. And there, I mean, again, people listen, we can all create just cause.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those are all contributing elements
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that can add to the complication and the confusion
mm-hmm.
and the friction, you know, that you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it can never, ever be an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You really, really have to own your stuff. So you and I, we know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, honey, I am so sorry, you know, that out of my exhaustion, but just out of me, you know, that I would make you, you know, feel unheard, you know, and just that I didn't validate you. You even asked me yesterday, I just need you to validate me. And it was just like, me too, but I made it about me. And so anyway, I hope this is helping somebody out there.
Because we have to live these things out.
Right. But no, the whole thing is that you never lose your personal power of choice.
Exactly.
And what you will focus on. Mm-hmm. So if you choose to focus on how another person has hurt you or offended you or discarded you, however that might be, you can take that offense and you can focus on it and make it as large as
you want. Exactly, Bob. And just before I even move on, I want to say thank you for that apology. And I
in public.
Yeah, and I and I forgive you, Bob.
Thanks, sweetie.
And so I woke up.
I mean, we did deal with it half-heartedly yesterday. Yeah.
But the exhaustion was real. There were many, many days of full-on 12 hours.
No excuses.
No, but this is what happens. Mm-hmm. We make those excuses, but it's never okay to mistreat each other. Not that we mistreated each other.
No, no.
But we didn't. Okay,
we weren't at our highest.
We were not at our high functioning.
Low functioning, a little
right?
Bit.
We were just low functioning, just a little. So, which is why this podcast is late this week. but we're doing it today.
We attempted.
Yes, okay. We did. We attempted. But can I say something?
Please.
When I woke up this morning,
let's move on.
Because every one of us, you guys, you do this too. Mm-hmm. There are things that happened yesterday you don't want to repeat again today, but yet they're forefront in our mind when we wake up, and we can choose to focus on what happened yesterday and carry it over to the next day. Okay. I could have carried over that offense into today. And I'm going to be honest, Bob, I was tempted to.
Really?
Yeah.
You were going to punish me today?
Well, I just wanted.
Really?
I was really surprised that you knew you were hurting me on purpose.
No, not hurting, just withholding.
Okay. You were withholding from me.
Because because you were hurting me.
Okay.
I felt hurt.
Yes.
You see,
I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. People, I want you to, we've had said this so many times. You know, we hurt one another because you are hurt.
Yes.
And so often you want the other person to either validate or experience, you know, the pain that you're going through. And so often, most conflicts are the result of the sense or the feeling that you have, you're not hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see me. You don't, you're not appreciating, you're not noticing me. Mm-hmm. And so,
or you're being mean to me, or you're.
And so we think that if we misbehave, you know, or we're just, then they'll realize, oh, and they'll be all soft. No, you're hurting the other person.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. So all that said, when I woke up this morning, and I had an instant choice to make.
Really?
Yeah. Am I going to sort of be like, wow, Bob.
So you didn't deal with it in your sleep like I did?
I guess I didn't dream through it like you did, babe. I haven't figured out how to do that in my sleep. Because I woke up and I went, oh, yeah,
this
yesterday.
This is not what this podcast
No, we actually had
about.
A different thing
yeah,
to talk about.
Yeah, we got to
get going. But that's okay.
Okay.
This is the scoop.
Yeah, I want to hear your scoop.
I chose really quickly this morning to focus.
Yeah.
And I thought everything I taught was with my clients with yesterday, I get to do today.
Okay.
So I get to focus on the wonderful things about Bob, but also the wonderful things about how loved I am by God. And I know that my husband loves me, all the things
and
I know to be
me.
True. But I love visuals. So I got a visual of a Where's Waldo magazine. You know when you get those pictures of Where's Waldo and he's teeny, teeny, tiny in the red and white striped shirt?
Yeah.
It's like they're in every day and in every circumstance, there is something good that can be learned and that can be redeemed and that can be used for love. And so I looked at my great big with What's Waldo thing and I said, and it wasn't a huge thing for you and me, but sometimes in the world we live in the Where's Waldo, there's a big monster in the middle screaming for your focus.
Yeah.
Focus on this.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. It's that bad. Focus, focus, focus. And then people like zombies just walk in and start focusing on the bad thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But we can choose to find in that Where's Waldo picture, where is the good? Where is the love? Where is the peace? And where's the redemption? And today I went, I'm going to choose good. And I started thinking about you, Bob, and the things I love about you. And before long, I was able to remove that block and say, oh, I want to have a great day. I want to have a day full of joy and peace. And I felt it. Good. I didn't just choose it.
We've had a good morning.
After I chose it, I started to feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did spend a lot of time talking about this.
Okay, so we should
Sorry,
have this
listeners.
Conversation off mic
Yeah.
And have it before we get here. But hey,
but focus.
It's all about relationships, people.
Yes.
I want to talk just a wee bit just about, and I think this can even be a prelude to it and just kind of move into it. And that is so many individual, just all of us, you and I included, what we do want to do is feel safe. Mm-hmm. We want to feel safe in relationships. Mm-hmm. And where that safety is, there comes that vulnerability. You know, there comes that willingness to know the other person, but also to be known by the other person. And what we've experienced is that it can be a real hindrance to some is that they don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about this in two different ways. One is that, you know, possibly the other person isn't safe. Mm-hmm. You know, they're creating an atmosphere where, no, it is volatile and it is not safe. And so you do withhold, you do, you know, create those barriers. You do resist the other person because of the things that you resent in them. And so these are very, very important indicators and signs that you need to see. But then there's the other side where you don't feel safe, and that has to do more with your own personal dignity and worth not being intact. Mm. And so you're living with a fear of rejection. You're living with a fear of vulnerability, you know, of a fear of failure, whatever it might be, but there might be a core fear, and therefore you project that on the other person, and so the other, they're trying to reach you in so many different ways, but yet don't know how.
Right, that's so true, Bob. And when you have a fear, we all have core fears, by the way, guys, we all do, but they're different from each other. But when you have a core fear, your sensitivity goes up and that's when you hear yourself saying, oh, you're being so oversensitive. Hmm. Well, behind that, there is a core fear that they're feeling. And that's where the overreaction takes place. That's where you hear people taking things personally. And Bob, we've heard that so much these days about how we feel offended and a choice that someone we love makes, maybe we don't know why they made that choice, but it hurt us. And so we take it personally that you did this against me.
Right.
You did this to hurt me.
Right.
Meanwhile, the person's like, I'm just hurting. I didn't mean to hurt you. This wasn't even about you. I'm just hurting. Well, yeah. It is personal.
Yeah, it does come that way. And then, so you want to feel safe in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then another comment that we hear, you know, is that I need respect.
Yes. I feel disrespected.
Or I mm-hmm. feel disrespected, or mm-hmm. I want more respect. And that one's doesn't scare me, but it's just like, whoa, because here's an indicator.
Right.
You know, in the relationship, but more with the individual. And so when it comes to this place of respect and disrespect, I find that there are different people view it in different ways.
Yes.
Of how they would feel, you know, respected, mm-hmm. Of how they would feel disrespected. And so when we take things personally, just as you were saying, Audrey,
yeah.
We feel offended.
Yeah.
Okay. When we take it personal, we feel offended and we do feel disrespected.
Yes.
Our reaction is either to defend ourselves mm-hmm. or what we'll do is we'll create a greater dominance, you know, over the other person, trying to get them to come our way.
Or else,
you
the
know,
other,
trying yep. to see, trying to get them to see it our way, you know, to come along. And then the other person, you know, is they feel that force. Mm-hmm. And so it's creating this huge disharmony that's going on. But either way, what we have been what has happened is that we've been provoked by another person's, mm-hmm. and what we do is we perceive it as a criticism, mm-hmm. and we view it as something that is literal or something that is personal, and we take it extremely serious, and we can make something really big out of someone's behavior that was actually quite small.
Because we have focused on...
We've made it big.
We've made it personal. You've hurt me, and I deserve to be treated better than that, so I'm going to make that huge. So when we take things personally, we can feel disrespected. Mm-hmm. Another time we feel disrespected, Bob, is when we hold on to our rights. I have a right to be treated better than that. I have a right to this. Now, yes, we all have a right to have dignity and worth. And yes. I would never want you to be in a situation where that is being ripped away from you. In fact, to be honest, no one can.
No one, yes.
I think our dignity and worth is almost like it's my choice and journey to develop and nurture my own dignity and worth within my own self and my own heart.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
where
my
it begins.
my own relationship with God that is established. My dignity and worth is secured.
Yeah. But then we want to be able to create that safe environment.
Yes.
You know, within society and even in with relationships where it can flourish.
Yes.
And because there are uniquenesses, you know, that we have and differences, mm-hmm. but they should never ever be a place of division.
So I have those three. I have three that okay. I want to talk about, Bob. We feel disrespected when we start taking things personally. Mm-hmm. We feel disrespected when we hold on to our rights. The third one, we feel disrespected when we hold on to our way of the resolve, the outcome, the journey, and become a know-it-all. This is where I find it. Mm. This is my personal, this is the hardest one for me, Bob, is that I feel disrespected because I'm holding on to my way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I haven't just known what detach to just to hold things loosely is powerful because you know what? I don't know a lot of I live in a land of unknown right yeah. now. And if I can hold my way of doing things loosely and I can hold my how it's going to the outcome loosely and stop being a know-it-all, mm-hmm. then I can be protected from feeling disrespected.
Yeah. As well, with regards to, you know, respect, uh-huh. it's never anything that I demand.
No.
And oftentimes, you know, I hear that from couples, you know, it's almost as though they want to demand it from the other person.
Yeah.
It's nothing that is
You
demanded.
Need to disrespect me. How many times have we heard that one?
No, I just you feel need to respect me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that. How hurtful is that?
Yes.
But respect is far more something that is earned.
Yes.
It's what other people, you know, give rather than what we demand. And so I want to take a look at the other side of you know, so we have this heightened sensitivity, okay, and we feel devalued mm-hmm. or disrespected.
Yes.
Okay. So I and that and it is. It's
That's
very,
hard.
Very hurtful
it's very
and it's
sad.
Very, very real.
Yes.
But in the what I call four pillars, you know, of a healthy right relationship mm-hmm. or like the four legs of a chair.
Which we all like four legs on a chair because that's the best way for it to work.
Okay. It is the most stable.
Yeah.
So for the most stable relationship, there are four of them that are extremely vital to have mm-hmm. in an increasing measure, always growing, always nurturing, caring for. Again, put it in your garden, plant it, grow it. And the one that is the most enduring is love. Mm-hmm. Love never fails. So that's another one. Another one is knowledge and understanding of the other person. Don't ever think you've got them all figured out. Mm-hmm. But one of the most romantic things you can do for your spouse is continue to get to know them.
Yes.
Okay. Then the third one is trust. And trust tends to be the most fragile, the one that is, you know, most easily broken. And so, you know, cherish it, care for it. Trust is a tremendous gift again. I see that is given into a relationship. But the one that I want to talk, that we want to talk about today, on the opposite side of disrespect, is this fourth corner, and that is honor.
Yes, that's the
respect.
That's the exact opposite of disrespect.
And honor isn't based on behavior or subject to an emotion. You grant your spouse value, whether they want it or deserve it. Honor is a decision that you and I make, and it's a gift that
yes,
we
it is.
Give
it is
to
a decision.
Other.
Honor is an absolute decision.
Honor isn't based, you know, on another person's behavior. Honor has to be that decision to view one another as a precious treasure.
Wow.
Again, it's just one of my things with couples that we spend time with, is that I want you to begin to see your spouse as a gift. You are a gift. You are a priceless treasure, a person with high worth and value.
And you've probably heard it true, like what you value. You cannot put a number or a measurement on value of what something is because it depends who's looking at it. Like your value is... Anyway, I don't know if I'm saying that right, or it sounds more profound in my thoughts than it did when I spoke it out. But how you look at something and is how you treat it with value. But if I value something and I value my relationship with you, I'm going to treasure that, but I'm going to honor that. Like, I'm going to give it the honor that it deserves.
Yeah. The King Solomon, he said, a man's greatest treasure is his wife.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this guy had more wives than anyone, but I'm just saying.
We won't even go there. Like,
we won't go there.
Who knows what that was like.
But, you know, if we can view, man, if you would view your wife as your greatest treasure, wow.
Yeah.
Life would be different.
Because we all want to feel cherished.
Mm-hmm. I also, when we do, so I want to go back to this conflict.
Okay.
That we are talking about. And I mean, we shared our own with you. And here's what we can't afford to do when we have conflict, or you feel as though you've been disrespected, you haven't been valued, you haven't been seen. Rather than burying it, you know, we talk about buried pain. There's another picture that I'd like to kind of word picture, is that a lot of times what you do is you kind of kick that disappointment. You kind of kick that hurt, and I see it tumbling down the steps into the basement, and you just kind of close the door, but it's still there where you live,
right?
And it just begins to rot and stink,
right? Right.
You see, when you don't deal, with those disappointments, it's like you kick it to the basement, but the smell of it. You know, and the residue of it is still there, and it affects our lives. So honor then is the choice that I will make, because I place high value on you. Yes, we will have disappointments one with another, but what I really want to encourage our listeners to do, men and women, is that I'd really like for you to be able to begin to make a list of why, and I'll put Audrey's name in here, why Audrey is so valuable to me, okay? So what you would do is you would say, why is...
My spouse
so valuable, but use their name. Why are they so valuable to me? Because when you feel hurt, simply... allow yourself to remember their dignity, their value, and their worth. And you remind yourself, and Audrey would go right back to this place, this is where I choose to place my focus.
Yep. And I thought, you know what? I actually have 7 ways that we can practically honor each other.
Okay.
And the first one is just to make side comments that are just kind, because the disrespect makes snide comments, but honor makes beautiful, wonderful comments. It makes just comments walking by are kind and gentle. So that's the opposite. Honoring makes kind and gentle comments. The number two, disrespect is all out assaults on that person's character, insults, ooh, criticism,
yeah, ain't
disappointment.
That true? Yeah.
But honor says, I'm going to focus on who you really are, because if you're acting out or you're low functioning, there's pain behind that. So what can I do that's the opposite of making an assault on you? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to go through all seven?
Please, yeah, okay. Just list them all.
Okay, so the third one.
I don't want to run out of time today.
Okay, great. Okay, disrespect is shown when you refuse to listen, but honor is when you listen with all your attention and you listen with understanding.
So good.
Yeah. The fourth way to honor someone is not to talk at you, because disrespect talks at you, and honor talks with you, giving them chance to speak. Giving room, giving space, not dismissing the other person, but being open and valuing their ideas and opinions. That's how I honor someone.
Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to feel the sting and the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And for many, it's kind of in that place. And I think because you want to be able to have conversation, you know, that is open,
mm-hmm,
and again, honest. And we've talked about honesty, and honesty isn't just a place where I get to be belligerent and
just being honest.
I want to be helpful,
be careful and safe and helpful.
Yes. But that's what I wanted to bring attention to, is that remember we're creating a safe environment.
Yeah.
So if you have had, you know, a history, you know, where every conversation just escalates,
mm-hmm,
have a conversation about that.
Yeah.
And just begin to recognize that as those conversations have even become habitual,
yeah,
what you want to do is,
I don't want these habits anymore. I don't think it's a good habit to have those aggressive conversations.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
I know, I heard you. Okay. But what you want to do is, before you have a conversation, is have a conversation of how to have a conversation.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Really?
Yeah.
And because we love each other. You see, I want to honor you. And so I'm going to take responsibility for me. And I'm not going to allow this to get out of control again. So anyway, Audrey, this is really helpful.
So the fifth one of the seven of how to honor each other.
Okay.
Another way to honor each other is to enjoy friendship, because disrespect laughs at you. So people who laugh at you or ridicule you are being disrespectful and doing their best to undermine your self-worth and your well-being. But but as we honor each other, we know that that other person deserves to be treated compassionately. And we don't want to ever put our insecurities on that other person.
Hmm.
So honor says, I'm not going to let my insecurities laugh at you or ridicule you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the sixth one is honesty. It is not talking behind your back. If I truly honor you, I am not going to talk behind your back.
Yep.
Because disrespect does talk behind your back and shares information and spreads misinformation. And it's malicious. And that's not okay to talk behind someone's back. That's not honoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then the seventh way to honor someone is to literally honor their boundaries and tell the truth. Because one of the most common forms of disrespect is invading boundaries. And our boundaries are the foundation of happy relationships. So because of you and I's honor for each other, we're gonna refuse,
right,
to disrespect you by violating your boundaries and,
yes,
and even your desires and your basic needs of how you feel loved.
Yeah.
I will get to know,
right,
you.
And I like to with regards to that place of boundaries.
Yeah.
I like challenging that sometimes.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Simply because
it's an interesting word.
Yeah, it's a very interesting word, because when you establish boundaries, it's almost as though I want to keep you out.
Right.
And so, you know, I have boundaries with my bad example, but
Did you decide not to?
No, it's just with my dog.
Yeah, right, so,
but because I love my dog so much, I want my dog to be with me.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to lose, you see? And so mm-hmm. my dog has boundaries.
You want him safe. You want right. him in the yard.
Right.
Yes.
I want my dog in my yard, not the neighbor's yard.
Right.
And so when we establish boundaries with each other, mm-hmm. the whole thing is that when there is authentic safety with one another,
mm-hmm.
you see, the natural position of my heart is to be open towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people view I'm setting boundaries because I'm closing my heart towards you.
Mm, that's and it's not like, okay. No. That's not a good reason for a boundary.
No, I'm setting the boundary because, you know, we will create safety mm-hmm. where all that dwell within are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I will then divert to my natural resting position of my heart being open towards you.
Yes.
You see, now I'm moving towards you. And so that's what I think is, you know, so very, very helpful. Yeah, we got to set these boundaries in life.
Mm-hmm.
And but my dignity and worth, it will be intact.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to, you're not, you are my number one contributor, but you're not the one responsible to tell me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
My father does that for me.
And that's honor because with all those ways of seven, those were just seven that I talked about, those seven ways to honor each other, there is overarching over all of those is I can't honor you unless I know that God honors me. Because God values me, I can now value others because mm-hmm. I honor God and he honors me as his child and as his heir,
yeah.
then I am able to give that to yeah. you. So you're not responsible, as you just said,
yeah,
to establish my dignity and worth.
And so what you're bringing up here, Audrey, is taking personal responsibility
yeah.
for personal character.
Yes, exactly.
This is who I am.
Yes.
And so I experience God as faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He's my provider. He's my healer in all of those ways. I can trust him. And because I experience that in and of his character, it transforms me. And now I have something that I'm able to give towards you. And when we, because what we want to do is create this safety in relationship, the Lord's going to heal the brokenness in my heart. He's going to heal our relationship. And we will be men and women of character.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best ways is to be consistent.
Yes.
And
follow through. Bob,
yeah,
follow through.
Consistent.
Follow through and consistency.
I know that you work with women in this and me with the men.
Yes.
That one of the greatest gifts you can give to one another is consistency in character.
And following through with what you say you will do. Your words will be your badge, your honor, and so when it comes to honor, we can focus on all of those different ways we can honor each other. And then truly that focus on honor will begin to grow the honor in our relationship and it'll mm-hmm. become mutual.
Yeah.
And it just has to start with one yeah. of you. One of you might say, I don't listen to this yeah. with my spouse. I wish they did. Well, start with you.
Let it start with
honor
you.
Could possibly be very contagious. Right. And in a place of honor, someone would begin to feel value and worth just being in your presence.
I know.
I am. Remember that. Yeah. How about this word, Bob?
Yeah.
I am so honored to be in your life.
Mm.
I am so honored to see you. Like that word, honor to be invited.
I'm placing dignity.
Yes.
I'm placing value and worth on you.
I just had a funny, yeah. fun little memory. I was watching the British baking show on Netflix. I'm uh-huh. not going to lie, because it's a sweet, happy little show. And when they have to go away, everyone hugs them and said, I'm so sorry you're leaving.
Yeah.
It's such a sweet show. And, but because it's in Britain, they, after they present their cookies or their baking, or they often kind of curtsy. And I was like, aw, like that's just a word I've thought of for honor, like just a curtsy, like an honor, things that we've lost in decades and centuries of time, but just signs of honor say that I choose you, I prefer you, I invite you, I am grateful. There's so many derivatives of honor and different layers that we can express with each
yes,
other
yes.
as our wedding day when I say I choose on this day to honor you.
Mm.
as my husband or my wife.
To serve and to protect. Yes. You know, lack of character. And what we're moving towards here really is just authentic character. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be responsible for me.
Yes.
I'm going to begin to make a list.
My word is my bond.
Of why Audrey is so valuable. Make a list of why your spouse is so valuable. Let that possibly be a take home, you know, for you after listening today. But don't allow, you know, a lack of character to create conflict within your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because often it just does. And so if there's conflict, you know, then where is there that lack of inconsistency, you know, within me? You know, yes. I'm just being...
And where are my insecurities attacking you somehow?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a good one today, Audrey. Yeah.
Thank you. That one just came out of nowhere. So as we close, I want you to know that this topic of honor is not exclusive to marriage relationship. Honoring one another is honoring my children. You know, you think my kids are called to honor me, but as you honor your children, honor in your workplace, honor in the public, yes, yeah. Going to the grocery store, we honor one another. We prefer them. There's so much room for grace and honor with mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah, just remember that you're the one that can choose to grant mm-hmm. value
yes.
to others.
Yes.
Whether they deserve it or not.
Every person is deserving of value and mm-hmm. worth.
So let honor be the decision that you make
yes.
to be one of the greatest gifts that you give today.
Yes. I'd like to just remind you guys that Info at Love Married Life, lovemarriedlife.com.
Lovemarriedlife.com.
Yeah, whoopsie. Gotcha. But anyway, at that website, I just want to remind you guys that you can look under articles uh-huh. and you'll get all the blogs
right.
that are accompanying these podcasts.
With the
and podcast. So on that, I will list those seven ways to honor each other.
Yes.
I'll just mm-hmm. go ahead and write those in today's blog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. As well at Love Married Life, mm-hmm. I do want to let people know this, is that we do have a, what would be kind of classically identified as a premarital course.
Yes.
We call it the newlywed
yeah,
course.
Yeah, we like the word newlywed.
Because, you know, a lot of times when you see premarital, you're like, oh, that's for the young people.
Yeah.
But I meet people in their 50s and they're newlywed.
And I want to be newlywed. And if you just want to be like a newlywed, like why
yes,
not do the course?
Or if you've never invested in your marriage in that way and you'd
yeah.
like to kind of establish some foundations
mm-hmm.
the newlywed course is a fun and easy one
to
go through.
That's a good one to mention, Bob.
Yep. And listen to this. Premarital training helps couples stay together. In fact, couples who participate in a premarital program experience a 30% increase in marital success over those who do not practice one.
Huh. Well, there you go.
There
if you know
go.
Some newlyweds,
there's a
send
benefit.
Them over. And in the meantime, have a great day, you guys.
Yes.
We believe in you. We hope you feel loved and valued and treasured. Yeah. You are a treasure.
Yes, yes. Also, remember, this is episode number 54,
mm-hmm.
all about relationships. And then lovemarriedlife.com is the website, and you can visit the articles there and
get
and
all, the coincide,
all the coinciding.
Every single podcast yep. has a coinciding blog post. So if you've listened before throughout these and said,
you missed the article,
I didn't even know there was
there.
An article that you can go backtrack, man. They are all there.
Yeah, backtrack. Okay. Hey, thank you again. Be sure to share, give it a thumbs up, like it, do whatever, I don't know, social media people need to do, but we appreciate you investing in your own heart and life. And I know that you can and will thrive in both life and love.
See you next time. Bye.